Well, last week we started talking about belonging and belonging to God. Who felt like last year we actually got closer to God as a church. And this year we're talking more about belonging through loving each other, which is obviously our mission. And also, thanks buddy, that's fantastic. And also loving the community, which I want to talk about this morning. First and foremost, you must know that God accepts you. He accepts you just the way you are. He loves you. Doesn't matter what you've done, God accepts you anyway. He died on the cross for us. He knew that we were all had things wrong with us. None of us are perfect. God cares about you anyway. And so, secondly, belong by being a friend. Church, belong by being a friend. We do need each other, and we need the church. We need to stay connected with one another. Let me read you the scripture in Ephesians 1:5. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave him great pleasure. We can help each other belong to his family. We can do this through connect groups. We can do this by befriending one another. And one of the ways this works well is through our own hospitality. And Rick Warren actually makes this excellent observation. Rick Warren is one of the largest churches in America. I happened to be reading one of his articles this week. And this is what he said. People aren't looking for a friendly church as much as they are looking for friends. So on that note, I would love Graham and Lydia, great members of our church, been with us. In fact, I'm going to do a little interview. You'll have to stand on this side for me. For those of you who weren't here last week, thanks. For those of you who weren't here last week, I've not sure how my foot is, but I find out on Tuesday. So until then, I've got to stay off it. But Graham, great having you part of our church.
Great to be part of the church.
Really. And how long have you been with us?
It's almost a year exactly, I think.
Almost a year exactly.
Yeah, happy it's our anniversary.
and what do you love about our church?
Well, when we first came in, we were feeling a little bit fragile, and we were just loved on so much and accepted. It was just amazing. One of the things that both Lydia and I expressed, you know, when we got home, we were talking about the experience was just how friendly. So commend yourselves. Everybody had been very, very friendly and really accepting. So well, I think we need to continue doing that because it really helped us.
Fantastic. Now, I asked you to talk about this a little bit at the leaders' meeting we had on Tuesday night.
Mm.
And but you took it because it's one of your giftings. You and Lydia, you do let's call it a gift of hospitality. So just tell us what you do.
Okay. I'm not saying this to in any way sort of elevate our gifting or anything like that, but it's just one of those things that we do and we've done most of our married life, I think, is just invite people. We normally try and keep an eye out for people that we think are new and not actually integrated into the family, the church family. And in fact, I think the second week we were here, we were inviting people back home. But that's our gifting. Both Larry and I feel very comfortable with that. We understand not everybody can actually do that, but I think there's a lot of us that can actually do that. Yes.
Yeah. So there'd be a number of us that have houses and that could at least 50% of the church could probably do that. And what tell us. Explain what you do, because you keep it quite simple, but tell us some of the results that happen as you invite people over.
Well, one of the things that I love, and I know Lydia loves, we love meeting people. We just love interacting with people. And the best way to do that, we have found, is to have a meal with somebody.
Yeah, that's
hi,
right.
Guys. Just to have a simple meal, we normally just prepare it either the night before or in the morning. And we don't know who's going to be coming back. We normally don't have specific people planned to come back. I'm sorry, folks, but we try to avoid church members. We generally don't invite a lot of church members back. We try to look for people that are looking to be connected, and that works for us. And and hopefully, you know, one of the greatest things that all of us actually want, which is interesting that you said about what Rick Warren said, Nigel, was that thing. We want to have friends. And you know, unfortunately, in most churches, whether it's this church or any other church, there's many people sitting down feeling lonely when they should be feeling the most accepted loved and all of those things. People want to belong, and they want to belong to a family or a community.
Excellent.
And can you imagine, as a family, now for those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're brothers and sisters. Whether you like it or not, I'm your brother. I'm sorry. It's just one of those things. You know, you can't choose your allies. And we're all the same. We're, you know. Now, can you imagine putting on a meal and leaving your brother and sister and your aunt outside, and they're not allowed to come in? No, our brothers and sisters, let's embrace them for who they are. And that's part of loving each other, which I think is what you're actually wanting to talk about.
Yeah, you're leading into it for me.
Okay, that's good. So, but that's the issue, is that how the world will know, Jesus actually spoke about this, how the world will know that we are his, it will be by our love one to another. And I want to tell you, one of the greatest things that you can do is by having a meal. Now, it doesn't have to be at home. If you've got heaps of money and you're just too busy to not be able to go to take somebody to a restaurant. If you haven't got a lot of money, take them to McDonald's. Okay? Doesn't matter what the thing is. Go have fish and chips down at Taylor's.
Because you get to know someone over a meal.
But the issue is that we get to know and you get to hear people's stories. I love hearing where people come from. I love to hear their background, how they came to the Lord, all of those things. You know, there's a power in people's testimonies. I love the power of my brothers and sisters' testimony. It is a very powerful thing, and it builds me up.
Fantastic.
Doesn't
Thanks,
it?
Graham. That's
it's
so good. Yeah. Really well done.
Okay.
Appreciate
well,
you,
bless
man.
You.
Awesome. Let's give Graham a hand. So I want to talk this morning about belong by being driven by love. Belong by being driven by love. And I've got this scripture that's been going over and over in my mind the last probably the last month. Matthew 11:19. Let's put it up. Oh, we've got it there. And I, the Son of Man, feast and drink, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of the worst sort of sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by what results from it. If you really want to be like Jesus, you are going to keep some bad company. Church, if you really want to be like Jesus, you're going to keep some bad company. And Jesus was not one of those guys who defied convention. He wasn't just looking for a good time or to drown his sorrows or tag along with the social scene or grow his reputation or hang out because there's nothing better to do. Firstly, he is here on a mission. Here on a mission, and in the unbelieving household, at the party, he is not aiming to simply defy conventions, but actively seek the salvation of sinners. Part of our mission is to actively seek the salvation of sinners because we have Jesus residing in our hearts. Soon Levi, which Jesus then called Matthew, held a banquet in his home with Jesus as a guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests were there. But the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" Jesus doesn't distinguish who he will associate with. He wants to show his favor to everyone. Jesus doesn't distinguish. One of the things I love about this church is the way we don't distinguish between the cultures, between where we come from. This is what heaven's going to be like. And up until this point in the passage of Scripture, Jesus had delivered a demoniac. He said, "Well, let's go to the other side." His disciples and him got into a boat. The storm raged because the devil doesn't want anyone to be freed by the power of God. But guess what? They made it to the other side. And Jesus delivered that demoniac. He became free. He became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He healed a leper just before this scripture as well. Now, this leper, it says, was the worst kind of leper. So he shouldn't have been there. Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you." And he became immediately a follower of Christ. He healed a paralytic. Remember the story? They took off the tiles on the roof because he couldn't get in the front door. And Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven you." Didn't just heal the man, which he did, but he said, "Your sins are forgiven you." God is very clear that God wants to set people free and give them a new start and give them new life. And now we see that he shows his favor to a tax collector known as a fraud, and his friends are with him. They're also known as questionable people. And so they're all hanging out. Jesus is with them at his house. You know, Jesus liberates those suffering from malign spirits, physical handicap, and social disfavor. Not only that, we also know that Jesus set free a normal individual in one sense. He was a businessman named Peter. He pushed out in his boat so he could keep teaching the people. And he was the modern day Sea Lanes. That was Peter. He was one of those guys that you know, he had employees. He'd come in with his catch. And they'd go and tell stories down the market, and he was the boss. And so here we have this modern day Sea Lanes man, and yet Jesus says, "Come follow me," and he followed Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you have everything or you have little, Jesus loves them all. And the point I want to make this morning is that we've got to befriend so that we can love others into the kingdom of God. And so we already know Bill Hybels actually terms the phrase Matthew parties, and Graham alluded to it this morning. Part of our vision for this year will revolve around our small groups having Matthew parties using the Alpha course in second term. Avina and I are going to help you with this. We're going to do the Alpha course together as a church. And we're going to do it for 7 straight weeks. But the reason why we're starting to discuss it now is so that you can start to befriend and get acquainted with people now, so that by the time the next term comes, you can invite someone to the course. You know it's 7 weeks. And we can trust that together with the unchurched and the church, that we see more people won for the glory of God. And so we can help you do this through our connect groups. We actively seek the salvation of sinners. You know, we don't have to storm the gates of hell alone. Even Jesus had his disciples with him. And so the great thing about Alpha Connect is we can do it together. And C3 Alpha Connect is our church mission to actively seek the salvation of sinners. Second, Jesus was a friendly guy. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Be friendly. Be friendly." Jesus, seriously, he was a friendly guy. You know, we can't be down in the mouth about it all the time. When we're around people, we've got to be friendly. We've got to have something that people go, "You know what? I want some of what they've got." Do we not? And so On several occasions, Jesus' association with others over a prolonged period brought a shift of that person's mindset and heart. Let's just for a moment talk about the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. Jesus was passing through Samaria and sat down at the well for what appears to be a number of hours, whilst his disciples went to get food. The Bible says, I've got the overhead for this, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." Now we can expect that unbelievers will, we cannot really expect that unbelievers are just going to keep walking through our doors. Yeah? Yes, it's possible, but what our part of our mission is that we befriend others, yes? And so we need to meet them where they're at. And we can spark up conversations and relationships wherever we are, wherever we're passing through, especially those places we visit regularly. And relational connections which may pay dividends for the kingdom of God. Keep your old friendships. If you've got friendships with unchurched, keep your old friendships. Allow them to develop, definitely. And look out for new opportunities. You know, I believe that across the C3, there is an anointing on what we're doing with C3 Alpha across all churches. We can expect that God will bring opportunities our way. Start from lower than they are. Jesus asked for a drink. Human nature wants to exalt itself and looks down on others. And this is something I do not want our church to be known as. I want us to be known as a friendly church like Graham has actually talked about this morning. But also, I want us to be friends with one another. And I think we can be friendly, but we need to know how to be friends. So let's work on that. We're going to work on that a little bit more this year. You know, we don't want to be like the religious crowd of Jesus' day. Imagine calling someone scum. No one in Jesus' eyes is scum. No one. We will not be religious in this house. We will love one another. And we will change. You will change people because we do care. Because we do relate. Gloria said to me this morning, bless her cotton socks, what a joke that was. She says to me, "I've got a spare wheelchair at home, Nigel. I think you might need it." You know, we bridge all gaps, we bridge all boundaries, we do whatever is necessary to love one another. I love it that we can connect on all levels. I love it that we can connect into whatever our race is. We can see God's hand in building this house. See, Jesus was interested in her heart. Jesus said to her, "The water I give them takes away thirst altogether." Jesus used the woman's need for physical water to sustain life in the arid region in order to serve as an object lesson for her need for spiritual transformation. This will also be the purpose of our Alpha course. Once you know someone well enough, as Jesus began to know this woman quite well after quite a number of, we believe it's a number of hours. And once you become friends, you can push the right buttons and give them reason to accept an invitation to an Alpha course. Alpha does the work for you. All you need to do is ask. You don't actually need to do much more. All you need to do is invite. And I think that one of the key things is that we can just invite people to whatever activities we're doing. And one of the key things we're going to do as a church together this year is invite to Alpha. And Jesus is interceding for this woman from the moment that he sat down with her. Isn't that a clue for our lives, that our friends and those around us, that we can start to pray and intercede for them now and trust God that God is going to do some use his Holy Spirit to draw the right information, that we can start conversations that start something quite powerful. It's interesting that Jesus says, "Will you go and get your husband?" He already knew, because he'd been interceding. He already knew that she'd had more than one. But look at this. Because the woman actually went back to her village and said, "You've got to come and meet someone. You really do. He knows more about, he knows everything about me. He told me his story. Come and see for yourselves." And by that point, she'd already made a decision that she wanted to follow him. Now, interestingly, it gets bigger than this, and this is the miraculous work of what God can do. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." And when they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many of them to hear his message and believe. Jesus conducted his own Alpha course. And then they said to the woman, "Now we believe because we have heard him ourselves, not just because of what you told us. He is indeed the Savior of the world." Who would love their friends to say that to you? He is indeed the Savior of the world. And so we can do this together. We can start praying into those people that we can trust that will be invited, and then leave Alpha to do most of the work for us. So he's there, Jesus is there on a mission. Jesus' friendship was driven by love for them. And lastly, go fish. Go fish. Who likes fishing here? Go fishing. The call of Matthew was preceded by Jesus asking Peter to push off into the water in one of his boats. Peter was not a disciple of Jesus yet. He was still a fisherman. Peter had no idea on that particular day Jesus wanted to get into his boat. Peter had come back from a long night of fruitless fishing. And he and his men were off to the side cleaning their nets, minding their own business, while Jesus is talking to the crowds. They were working. They were disgruntled. In fact, they were frustrated that they hadn't caught anything all night. Maybe they weren't going to eat that day. They were talking to themselves, "What is going on in Lake Galilee today?" Well, you can imagine the scene. At first, it wasn't too major. Jesus just asked Peter to push off a little bit so he could keep talking to the crowds. But Jesus isn't finished with Peter. He's in his boat, and now he says, "Let's go fish." Jesus doesn't ask whether Peter is compelled to go fishing again. He already knew that answer. Like all of us, when we're tired, we're worn out, or perhaps we've gone fishing before and we haven't caught anything, Jesus gives us an order and he simply wants us to do it. Are we ready to be obedient no matter how we feel? I'm sure Jesus does it this way so that in our weakness he is found to be strong. And the disciples learn it wasn't about their logic, their ability to fish, or the boat. It was all about Jesus. For the most people, it would have been one of the greatest days in their history, in their life. Can you imagine the story that was told at this event? Not only did they fill Peter's boat, but they have to hoy other boats to come alongside, and they fill those boats as well. And the Bible says they were almost sinking. Can you imagine? Here's Peter, he'd fished all night and caught nothing. Can you imagine when they got to the market, what the stories? Did you see how big that catch was? This is amazing. For most people, it would have been the most incredible day of their lives, but it was only part of the story for Peter and his disciples to be. The prize was the disciples' relationship with Jesus. It was the life that Jesus had already talked about with the Samaritan woman. It's the living water that you and I can experience every day. It's the living water. It's that life that God has for others that we can actually experience and transfer into others' lives so that they can be fully blessed their entire life as well. I don't know about you. Would you like to have one day or an incredible life? We're knowing that you are saved, that you are set free, that those things don't worry you anymore, that you're delivered from that thing, that you're healed from that oppression. God is our Savior of all these things. I'd like to get up and do a bit of a, like I would normally, but I'll refrain myself. So See, Jesus can bring life to any situation. Thanks, Yah. All is not lost. Will you allow him to get into your boat today? Will you allow him to change your heart? See, Jesus is on a mission for you. He wants to befriend you, transform your life with his living water. Will you give Jesus opportunity to work in your life today? Will you allow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the life giver, as I've described through a few stories this morning, Jesus wants to be your life giver. Perhaps this morning you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life. Perhaps this morning you have received him, but you need to come back into relationship with him. You've left his life. You've turned away from it. Come back in a relationship with God today. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, will you allow God to befriend you? Will you allow him to take your life and allow him to lead it? I'd love to pray with you before we finish this meeting this morning. Allow God an opportunity to transfer his life into yours, to give you his living water. He's real. He's alive. He wants to befriend you. He wants to come alongside. Maybe you're away from God and you need to come back to him. Will you allow that to happen this morning? While we're seated here, if you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life, if you've accepted him some time ago, but you know you're away from him, you've left his life, you need to get back into relationship with God. On the count of three, I'd love to pray for you. If you want to receive Jesus as Lord of your life, if you want to receive his leadership, if you want to allow his life into every day that you have, will you accept him this morning, whether you've loved him before but gone away from him, or whether you want to receive him for the first time? On the count of three, pop up your hand and I'll see it, and you can pop it down again. 1, 2, 3. Is there anyone this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God. For those of us that are Christians, disciples of Jesus, fish for people. Disciples fish for people. Jesus finishes with this story in Luke 5. From now on, he says to Peter, from now on, you will be fishing for people. Let's be a church that, as Graham has described, let's be a church that befriends and loves one another, so that we get in our heart what it is to love, so that we can fish for people, so that we see everyone as equal. Rich or poor, whatever their situation, doesn't matter, so that we can go fishing and win the greatest prize of all, people for the kingdom of God, and they will thank you all the days of their life. So Father, today I pray that we would be a church that would befriend one another. We would belong through befriending one another, and we would belong by being driven by love and go fishing. Go fishing. Help us to go fishing, Lord. Help us to go fishing for people, in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome rest of your weekend. You'd like prayer, I'd love to pray with you for anything. That'd be fantastic. Had a person rededicate their life last week after church. If you feel like you want to do that, please come. I'd love to do that with you at the end of the service. Enjoy cafe time. Don't forget, register for the camp. You've got this week and next week to pay your money. God bless you. And Friday night next week. This week. Friday night this week. My apologies. This Friday night, 7 o'clock. Thanks.